I'm Joe Broadhurst, and you're listening to CKUT Radio in Montreal, Quebec. I'm pleased to be joined on the phone this afternoon with Constance Vogel from the Canadian Action Party. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good.
You have good weather out there?
Yes, it's very nice. So it's sunny, and it usually doesn't get very hot here, which can be nice, you know, but it's always a nice, it's a nice part of the world to live in, no question. Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
I wanted to speak about several different issues with you. First of all, could you tell my listeners a little bit about the Canadian Action Party, when you got started, and what your goals are?
Yes. This is a federally registered political party, and we came into existence in 1997. The original impetus was and remains a concern to take back basically the sovereignty of citizens over our country, and the primary emphasis has always been recognizing and understanding the power in whoever it is, in controlling and creating your own money supply. Is a big issue that has been hidden from the masses of people, because whoever has that license to do that controls everything, and that's international. And then the whole other thrust of our activity has been the logically connected whole process of globalization. We don't like it. We see it as harmful to human beings, harmful to citizens, to ordinary people, the masses of people. We see the whole globalization process as having been a mechanism to return the world to feudalism, slavery, basically, for the masses of people, an impoverishment of people, a deliberate impoverishment of, as Michel Chossudovsky called it, the globalization of poverty. And so that's always been our raison d'etre. And we've been trying to disseminate information about the process that we don't get from the mainstream parties who are sitting in office. And we're a vehicle, a legitimate electoral vehicle that a number of us have struggled to keep alive, so that there's this wagon that people can jump on, this bus, to take back their country, since the current parties that are in power right now are all complicit in deliberate destruction of Canada. It's sabotage and it's treason.
One of the things that Canadians are seeing, which is showing up in their mailboxes, is the census. Can you discuss a little bit about the company that's running that census?
Yeah.
And I know that there's a website called countmeout.ca.
Right.
Can you just give our listeners and how that ties in with globalization?
Right. Well, Lockheed Martin is the is an arms manufacturer, the world's greatest, one of the biggest arms manufacturers in the world, happens to be located in the United States, with a record of being one of the 10 worst corporate entities that exists for the kinds of harm that they do in the world, in the environment and in business and the whole shebang. And they are major perpetrators of, obviously, creating the weapons that are being used in the aggressions and the basically illegal aggression, aggressive wars going on right now. And Canada employed Lockheed Martin to do the software and the hardware for our census, and I think they're the ones that did it for the United States as well. A lot of people, first of all, were offended that that a job is handed over to a United States company. Secondly, the concern raised. So first of all, we have the NAFTA issue, which says, you know, you can't give priority to Canadian companies. Secondly, a lot of people are concerned about the Patriot Act now reaching into Canada. Whenever you've got U.S. companies operating in Canada, the U.S. Patriot Act can command under Homeland Security to deliver over to the government all the data information on the people who are in the database. And the company is not allowed to tell those people, those citizens, that that information has been taken, and then the government will do whatever it's going to do with it. And so that's a real concern for a lot of Canadians. We don't want that connection. We've been assured by the government, well, no, never mind, they're not going to be able to get hold of any of our sensitive data. But that's not satisfactory to a lot of us, because we know that in the United States, they themselves were given that assurance for their own census, and then a lot of it. Massive amounts of data of citizens ended up in another government database where it shouldn't have been able to go. So the whole business of security, you know, it's interesting. they throw all this crap at us, you know, about the need for security in the world. But the security has nothing to do with the security, really, of the people. It's the security of interests different from ours. We want to be secure from somebody invading our personal information and our invasion. If we try to stand up for ourselves to protect that security for ourselves, we're dismissed and the tables are turned. Everything's turned upside down, like, just like in Orwell's 1984, and we're the ones that are accused of being traitors and of being treasonous and of being anti-liberty when we're fighting for our very liberty. If people haven't read George Orwell's 1984, if they read it a long time ago, I tell them to go back and reread it, because what he laid out there is exactly what's happening now. But back to the census, there's a whole list of the horrible things that Lockheed Martin has done. And so a lot of people want to make a stand on, A, it being wrong because of NAFTA that we have to farm this out to them. B, it's wrong because it's in American hands. We shouldn't have to be unable to give priority to Canadians. C, we're concerned about the Patriot Act. D, we're concerned basically the whole integration of the processes of Canada into the North American entity, the North American Union, which is really in process. And the Count Me Out website is a place where people can go. That's just what it's called, countmeout.ca. Tells them what are the absolute minimums that they are required by law to do in a census. The census has always been an invasive document from the point of view of a lot of people from forever. And a lot of people over time have refused to participate in the census. Anyway, now there is a penalty for not participating. It's a maximum $500 fine or maximum 3 months in jail. Now, of course, never give maximums to first offenders. But the point is they've never historically gone after anybody. To my knowledge, that's the information that we're receiving. They might try to do something now because there's a movement, a massive movement, a protest movement to avoid the census. Now, the requirements, all the requirements under Section 8 of the Statistics Act, fulfilling in that census, if you're going to follow the absolute law and you're going to participate and you want to participate at the minimum, the only thing you have to do is tell how many people are in your household and how many animals you have in your farm or in your area, if you know, you're in a region, an area where you have a farm, or the joke in the website is tell them how many cows you've got. That's all. That's all. All the other information you don't have to give them. Now, most people will get the short form and there's not an awful lot of extra stuff that they ask on there, but you don't even on that one have to say more than the numbers in your household and the numbers of animals in your household and on your farm. Many people will receive the long form, which is extremely invasive. It asks all sorts of information down to how many bank accounts you have, how much money you have, where you got it located. People don't have to give that information. And so, first of all, we want people to know that. And secondly, we're encouraging people to participate in a form of boycott, at least to do the minimum, just to do no more than the absolute minimum. And the reason for that is this. Many of us are aware of how our government has been selling us down the tube for a long time in the process of not just globalization, but at home here in North Americanization, and turning us over under basically the control of the United States. We don't like it, and all government parties that are there participate in it, and so none of them are any good to us. So we as ordinary citizens are very frustrated. Well, you know, what can we do? A lot of us, we protest, we march in these massive marches against globalization, we write, we run candidates, we do whatever we can, we phone, we transmit information amongst ourselves, but it's very hard to get anywhere. It's very hard to deal with this juggernaut. And so this kind of a little action on the census form is a way that the ordinary little citizen can exercise a protest vote easily, comfortably, follow the minimum rules, or if you want to be bolder, do more, like with an outright boycott. But that puts people at risk, so they've got to realize that in terms of the fine and the potential jail sentence.
We see that the governments are data mining. They are using many sources or ways to extract information about the public. One of the things that they want to do is use RFID chips.
Not that they want to do that. They're going to do it.
They're going to do
it. In the works.
Can you tell my listeners just a little bit about what they have in the works and what you think that they have in store for us?
Well, way back in December of 2001, just a couple of months after the 911 incident in the States, and there's a whole that whole area is another thing to talk about in terms of what that was all about and what really has. We know that the massive attack on our civil liberties has come into effect subsequent to that. So that was something that was used as an excuse to destroy our civil liberties and our rights and our entitlements under our constitutions in Canada and the United States. And big time, big time, just awful. One of the agreements that was entered between Canada and the United States was Tom Ridge from the Homeland Security and John Manley from who was Deputy Prime Minister at the time in Canada went off and had a meeting, and amongst themselves they entered an agreement. This is another whole issue of something being done, massive something being done by a couple of bureaucrats, a couple of officials that fundamentally, profoundly change your system. Doesn't get discussed in Parliament. Doesn't get dealt with in any way except piecemeal. And rubber stamp piecemeal. It's another example of the rot in our system of what's really, really wrong. So these guys go off and they enter an agreement called the Smart Border Plan, and they agree in that agreement. Basically, Canada's in that agreement agreeing to do all of what the U.S. has already got planned to do. But again, these guys are all fulfilling an agenda that's not the government as such of the United States and the government as such of Canada, although there'll be people in those leadership positions. It is really the agenda of the chief executive officers of North America, the most powerful corporate elite, who have a direction that they want North America to be. And one of the terms in the Smart Border Plan says that both countries are going to bring in those kinds of identifiers where people can be tracked. And even if you go to this, and I've written an article on all this stuff. It's on the Canadian Action Party website, canadianactionparty.ca, and the article is called The Metamorphosis and Sabotage of Canada by Our Own Government. And I go through all these agreements from the Smart Border Plan through the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, which was signed in May of 2005 by Martin and Bush, where they're basically incorporating setting into place the mechanisms for implementing the agenda of the North American corporate elite, corporate military elite. And so it's bizarre. It's worse than bizarre. It's tragic. It's certainly undemocratic. One of the things is this, you say, well, you know, what do they have in store for us? The plan is to have an Orwellian place where the people are controlled. Because if they really completely knew what was going on, the people would rebel. And in order to effect the agenda of the corporate military elite, you have to control the people. One of the ways to control the people is to track them, to know where they are. Now, this is already happening. Most people probably don't realize that the most recent cell phones all have tracking devices in them, and some people know, individuals even know how to do that, and they've used them for purposes of their own. But as long as your cell phone is on, whoever would want to could know where you are. Some cars already have tracking devices in them, so whoever would want to can know where that vehicle is. And of course they sell all this stuff to us because every technology has a good use and a bad use, and they sell us the technology for tracking cars to say, well, if someone steals your car, then we can find it. It's just like the chips that they want to put in, they're already putting in animals, and they're doing that starting with animals. The city of Victoria has a policy where you put chips in your animals, and they say that's to find your animal if it gets lost. But putting it in animals first is to get people used to the idea of being chipped. They want to put it in children, and they sell that to the people saying, if you know you put this in your children, then if they're ever abducted, we can find them. Yes, they would have that good point. But the real agenda is to track people, know where they are, and to be able to prevent them from descent.
I think one of the more interesting films on that is called Brazil. So if any of my listeners want to rent that, that was a movie from the 1980s, and it shows a fairly interesting story about this exact scenario. Mm-hmm. I want to discuss maybe one of the steps in controlling people in the short term would be politically, and we have a hearing coming up in the beginning of June, I believe, for the 2% rule. Can you tell my listeners about that?
Yes, I think that the actual, I didn't have time to check my computer before we got going to the exact date of that. It's June, it's probably, I think it's around June 20th.
Okay.
It's in the 20s. I'm pretty sure it's 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there. And it's in Toronto. And I will be doing a broadcast on that. And it will be, the information on that will be on our website. So we're encouraging people to go out to that hearing, that lawsuit hearing, as citizens to put, hopefully by their presence have an influence on the judge hearing the case. What that case is about is that in the year 2004, the Martin government, or the Chrétien government, I guess it was, introduced legislative changes they billed it as being a progressive thing to be more democratic for funding for political parties. It has to do with funding of political parties. And they remove the capacity of unions or corporations to give more than $1,000 a year to a political party. And they removed the opportunity of small parties or any other party to have a benefactor, somebody to put in $1 million a year to the party. They're no longer allowed to do that. And they said, well, the trade-off on that is we will fund from the citizens, from the taxpayers, every political party, $1.75 per vote. However, the party's not going to get that $1.75 unless, as a party, they receive at least 2% of the vote across the country. And what that does is it really squeezes the small parties who are the voice for a lot of people who are not happy with the four mainstream parties. And it's really tough to get the 2%. The Green Party managed to get the 2% because they fielded 308 candidates, and they did that two elections ago when they... Basically, the old Conservative Party took over the Green Party, a lot of the leadership in there, and they moved in, and they did a good job of fielding candidates across the country, and they got, I think, the last election, 5% of the vote. So they get the funding, and it amounts to millions and millions of dollars, you know. So they've taken away the benefactor. We can, like the Canadian Action Party, the founder of the Canadian Action Party, Paul Hellyer, you know, put $2-4 million into the party. The old National Party, some people might remember that. Bill Lavin funded that. He put $4 million into that party to get it going, and it started to take off really well, and then it sabotaged from, self-destructed from within with some sabotage. So the small parties got together and said, we're going to challenge this as being unconstitutional, and they're using the same legal arguments that were successful when small parties challenged a rule that said if you don't run 50 candidates, your party is deregistered. And we're really expecting success on this, that we will win, that they'll have to give us the $1.75. And that's an important something for, again, for democracy. The whole pressure is to squeeze out real opposition. And the small parties always have been a voice in Canada. We've got a history and a tradition of that. And there are a lot of small parties. People maybe don't realize, about 11.
Well, there's a lot of big parties that rely on small parties as well. And and also, we see that once they start squeezing small parties out, then that 2% will suddenly become 4% or 6% in the future. So,
Harper's already talking about eliminating. Ordinary citizens can give $5,000 to a party, and so that helps small parties because there will be some generous people who will give us $5,000. We had maybe three people gave us a chunk of $5,000. Really tough, you know, financially to survive. Well, he's talking about getting rid of that. Now, that's going to hurt us. It's not going to hurt them. And there was some talk during the election of getting rid of the $1.75 thing. So it's really an incredible assault on democracy in the world. And, of course, we're talking about in Canada. And the United States has suffered ahead of us, and we're just replicating things here in Canada. The people of the United States are suffering terribly by the destruction of the democratic rights, and we're doing the same thing in sync. And it's so unbelievable that sometimes a person says, gee, I wish I didn't know so much of this. I'd be able to be so much more comfortable. I'd be able to sleep easier. But, of course, when you do know and you see what's coming down the pike, it's so horrendous that it's impossible not to participate in some way.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening on the eastern side of Canada? You had mentioned an Atlantic Union.
Yes, there is there's been, you know, the globalization stuff has been around for a lot longer than people realize, and there was always been a pressure in Canada for, gosh, maybe 20 years to create an area, a region called Atlantica and a region called Pacifica, which would join the northeastern United States states and the southeastern Canadian provinces into an entity, a regional entity that would be, that's purpose would be to serve the business interests of those regions. Same thing on the Pacific Coast. And I just have an email here where there's a group of people wanting to mobilize the citizens to protest against a meeting of this northeastern U.S. and southeastern Canadian group, this business initiative of Atlantica. And they're holding this group, the business group, is holding a meeting called Atlantica, Business Without Boundaries. And their conference is on June 8th at the tent in St. John, New Brunswick. They want to bring around these kinds of conditions. Listen to it. It's the same stuff we're talking about at the global, more national level throughout North America. They want to harmonize federal and provincial regulations with the United States. That means make everything the same. They want to privatize public infrastructure and services. They want to integrate policymaking with the United States. They want to expand NAFTA. They want to erase the Canadian-American border. They want one continental army and immigration policy. They want to build a highway from St. Stephen to Cornwall. They want to lower the minimum wage. These are... So we, many people are aware, hopefully, about the threat for the North American Union, where you've got the business elite of North America with this agenda to integrate, actually, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, all for their benefit. And there are certain rules that have to go in place to keep the people in order and in place that we just talked about earlier. Now you see... You see them, the business elite, breaking themselves off into smaller entities where their focus, this particular group, is going to focus on Atlantica, on the Atlantic problem, so region. And so there's a group of citizens talking about and planning to organize a protest, basically, have a kind of a counter summit on the first night in St. John, New Brunswick. And they're just beginning to get organized, and I'm going to ask people again to pay attention, to go to our website. We'll have information there. And this group that's trying to create a protest against the Atlantica will be creating a website. It's just beginning to be pulled together. You know, it's an awful shame that citizens have to mass in large protest numbers against their own government, because we don't like what they're doing. And we did that a lot, was happening for a lot of years, you know, around the world, as we all know, in the massive movements. And, of course, the leadership in governments and the policing, of course, they all accuse the people, the citizens, as being, you know, they labeled us as being, I just can't think of the particular word, as they didn't call us traitors as such, but we were dissidents, became a bad name. And we were troublemakers, and we had to be controlled, and people would be arrested and thrown in jail and kept off the streets for a while and get records or not get records. This real attack and assault on citizens who are really only trying to stand up for themselves. And the reason we're doing it as citizens when we go in these kinds of protest things is because the leadership at our elected level has not just failed us, but they are actively betraying us. And so it's important for people to remember what's been going on for 10, 15, 20 years in this protest movement and the talk and the language, and then to remember the language of the anti-terrorist movement and the legislation that came in, which has horrendous liberty-stripping powers, particularly and precisely to stifle dissent. That's all deliberate, and we have to realize that this assault on us is profound, and we must, as individuals, as citizens, stand up against it, because if we don't, we're going to be crushed in greater and greater measure over time. And so it's important to continue to do that. And that's why the Canadian Action Party struggles, it's a small group, but we struggle to keep viable, to stay here, is because I still believe in the democratic process. I still would rather people be able to save themselves and wrest back control of their area, our country, for our use democratically and through a registered political vehicle. And that's why the Canadian Action Party vehicle is there, so that people can participate, can become candidates, so we could field 308 people. I wish another party in this country with more influence and clout and presence would do what we're saying needs to be done, but they're not, they haven't been, and they won't.
Okay, I've been speaking with Constance Fogel from the Canadian Action Party, and you can reach them online at CanadianActionParty.ca. And if you were listening before and you want to take part in actions against Lockheed Martin and the census, you can go to countmeout.ca, and there you'll find instructions on how to do that correctly so that you don't end up paying a penalty for speaking out. I do want to thank you for joining me this afternoon, and I hope that some of our listeners will take a moment and decide that democracy is one of the most important things in their lives, and they'll reach out and help you.
That's right. We ought to deal with it, people. Take it back, or we're going to lose it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Bye.